Title is, There is a Balm in Gilead. Now, how many of you have found Jeremiah 8:22? The first line that you're going to see is there no balm in Gilead? And you're going to say, well, doesn't that guy know how to look at the scripture and keep it straight? I think I do, and I think I'm going to have something that'll be a blessing for you. But I just want us to explain a bit the timing of this scripture. And a little bit of history, maybe a little bit of geography, a very little bit of history and geography, but hopefully a whole lot of the word. The scripture says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? I'm going to do the Amplified again. If you're upset with the Amplified, you're going to have to get over it, because I got a lot of Amplified going today. Jeremiah 8:22 in the Amplified says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? No change, is there? That's the same thing as we read out of the New King James. But it says, why then has not the spiritual health of the daughter of my people been restored? Now let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the power, the meaning, and I pray today encouragement to come to your people from this word. Lord, that you'll strengthen us, that you'll help us to just grasp a little tighter hold onto you. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to the needs, to the things that are bubbling in our soul. Touch us, God. And bring your healing and your restoration. And I ask this in the name of the Balm of Gilead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So the question that Jeremiah asks, and he asks it probably because his heart is broken. You know, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. And his heart was broken. Because of the deeds of Judah, of the group of people that he was ministering to those in Jerusalem mainly. Is there no balm? Is there no, now, what is this balm? Not balm. Boy, I'll tell you, I hope I'm making it clear enough. Balm, B-A-L-M, was like an ointment or a medicine that came from the balsam tree, and it was kind of high-tech for that day. And as a matter of fact, it was high-tech for a long time, because when, how many remember Joseph's mean brothers that sold him into slavery? They threw him into pit and were having dinner, right? They looked up, and there's these Ishmaelites, and they were coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt, right? So they look up, and they see, and they say, hey, we have a better idea. Let's sell our brother instead of killing him. I'm glad they did that. That makes the whole story a lot more awesome, right? But this balm was something special that would help to heal a wound. But understand that the medicine you can make a whole argument about taking medicine. When I was growing up in the Pentecostal church, there were some people that didn't believe in taking medication. They felt like it wasn't faith if you took medicine. The thing that stands out most in my mind is a snake handling preacher in Kentucky that I was in first grade. He got bit, and he could have gone to the doctor and been saved, but he had faith and he died. And I always say, if there can be help and you don't take it, to me, that's a whole different ballgame. But understand that everything that's made and everything that the doctors use, God created it and gave it to us. And look, I'm all for it. I go to the doctor and I try to listen to what I want to and take as much advice as I feel like I need to. And it's all good. So medication is fine. But medication does not reach to the spirit and the soul of human beings. In the Revelation, there's a scripture that says that you need the eye salve from God. Now, in Laodicea, they had a lot of good things. They were a very prosperous city. They had a cloth that they dyed purple, and that was a big deal. That was like a big designer thing in that day. And they had an eye salve that was amazing, that did wonderful things for people's eyes. But that eye salve did not open their eyes to who Jesus was. And Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy gold of me tried in the fire and white raiment that you can put on for righteousness' sake. An eye salve that you can see. So the balm in Gilead was pretty amazing. It was a good product. Kind of a funny thing, maybe. Maybe you'll think, well, if he thinks that's funny, there's something wrong. I read where that if a mother-in-law didn't care much for her daughter-in-law, she would tell her to put lots of this balm oil, this balsam oil all over, and then light a candle. The reason that you didn't light a candle is because this oil was very, very flammable, and it was a way of someone getting their evil deed done. I don't know why, but that kind of struck me. I'm thinking, boy, I guess people were ornery even way back then. But so don't put this on and light a candle. It's not advisable. It's unstable. But for healing wounds, it was amazing. It was like a miracle drug or a miracle product. I'm amazed at the medicines that we have today, and the descriptions they give is you're going to pretty much die if you take this. And yet we do, because we're hoping it works, right? But when it comes to the spirit and the soul, only Jesus is the medication that we need. In the book of Jeremiah 30 and 17, it says, "For I will restore health to you and heal your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, 'This is Zion, no one seeks her.'" So Israel, Judah, the nation of Israel has been an outcast for a long, long time. Now, where all of these scripture, including the main scripture, I haven't got to the main scripture yet, but including that one is a forecast of millennial time, millennial reign. Millennial reign, in my understanding of the Word of God, I don't think it's just an opinion. I was going to bring my Pentecostal Church of God Bible and show you that healing is part of our belief, and it's strong. It's a very strong commitment to healing that the Lord is able to do, but also the second coming and then the 7-year tribulation, the revelation of Jesus Christ coming back to the earth, saving Israel and restoring Israel. And during that restoration, millennial, kingdom age, whatever you want to call it, during that time, there's going to be blessing, prosperity, and healing is going to be amazing. People will live so well. Matter of fact, the prophecy says if someone dies at 100, they'll be considered an infant. So it's a good time, and I'm all for all of that and taking reversing age and just getting stronger and being blessed. Thank God for that. Gilead was located east of Jordan, and the name Gilead means a pile of stones, a heap of stones that mark for a testimony, or a hill of testimony. So Gilead now is Jordan. It's in the country Jordan, taken from Israel, and I think unfairly taken from Israel. But when Israel is restored, everything that was taken is going to go back. Jesus Christ is going to set up his rule. I think of some of the city officials I've had to deal with getting building permits. This church had a big battle with one person, and unfortunately she passed on, but we got our permit at last, and we were able to put our parsonage in. And so we're thankful for that. But when Jesus rules, you're not going to have that bureaucracy that's going to negate everything, but everybody's going to be blessed. Things will be done right, and center of government in Jerusalem will be the most beautiful temple you've ever imagined, and beyond our imagination. But that's coming. That's in the future. And I believe with all of my heart that what Jesus did for us on the cross and the resurrection and the ascension and the setting at the right hand of God gives us hope that we can have the balm of Gilead right now. We don't have to wait for healing. We don't have to wait for restoration. We don't have to wait for strength. A couple of weeks ago, Debbie said, I want to put something on the little sign out there. How many's noticed the sign? And so Debbie inspired that. We have trouble because we don't have that much space, right? We don't have that much space. So, but we try to get in as much as we can. And when people are going down the road at 90 mile an hour there, they can't read too many words. So if you're walking by, it's a little bit easier. But this comes from the 147th Psalm, and that's our main text. If you want to turn there, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And it says in God's word, for it is good to sing praises to our gracious and majestic God. Here I am again with Amplified Version. Praise is becoming and appropriate. So what we were doing this morning, worshiping God, is becoming and appropriate. The Lord is building up Jerusalem. He is gathering together the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. And he binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. He counts the number of stars and he calls them by their name. There are over 40 sextillion stars. Anybody want to argue with that? That's a number that came up with a long time ago, even before the Hubble telescope or whatever spacecraft that is. There are a lot of stars. Jesus knows every one of them, and he's given them a name. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. He counts the number of stars, he calls them by their names. Great is our majestic and mighty Lord, and abundant in strength. His understanding is inexhaustible, infinite and boundless. The Lord lifts up the humble, he casts down the wicked. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises to our God with the lyre. Who covers the heavens with clouds? And who provides rain for the earth? And who makes the grass grow on the mountain? Debbie, you want to come and read your... Debbie wrote this and put it on our Facebook page and our website. I don't know much about our website, but I'm glad that we have one. This is what Debbie wrote, and it correlates with what's on the sign.
Well, first of all, before I read it, in case you think we coordinated this, we did not. The Lord coordinated this. He had no idea what I wanted to put on the sign. I had no idea what he was preaching until a couple of days ago, and he said, would you read what you wrote and put on Facebook on the internet? And I said I would. So I called it, He Heals the Brokenhearted. And I hope I don't cry. Have you ever had a broken heart? Regardless of the cause, it really hurts, and it can affect all kinds of intricate human systems. Our emotions become fragile, bodily systems spin out of control, and even our mental stability becomes questionable. The pain causes us to turn our focus internally, and doing so blocks out all light, it impairs our judgment, and most especially, it obscures all hope for a better day. In Psalms 147, sandwiched between verses that are instructing Israel on the virtues of singing praises to God and the mercy God showed by gathering all the outcasts to his city, Jerusalem, stands verse 3. It declares that God is the healer of broken hearts, the binder of every open wound. The scripture reads, He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds, the third verse. The greatness of the same God who numbers the stars and calls them by their name in verse 4, and he lifts up the meek and he casts down the wicked in verse 5, heals broken hearts. As followers of Christ, we know that our light, our stability, and our hope are found in the unspeakable gift of redemption that Christ so freely gave us through his death, burial, and resurrection. If your heart is broken, you can ask him to heal your heartache and bind up the bleeding, oozing wounds. He so loves the hurting, and he wants to lift up the weak. I hope you'll let him heal you today.
I thought since Debbie wrote it, she should be the one to share it with you. It touched me, and she's right. We didn't coordinate so much. I was thinking of the Balm of Gilead, but I had no idea how closely it tied into what she put on the sign, because there are brokenhearted people. And just rubbing a salve or an ointment over that. I've got the oil of gladness, a little ointment that Audrey purchased for the church, and it's like a little salve. And it smells so good. Because it has myrrh and frankincense in it. And it's awesome. We use it for our anointing oil. And it's a fragrant and a nice, you know, probably olive oil based oil. But you can rub it all over yourself and it doesn't heal a broken heart. I can almost prophesy that you all have had a broken heart. I'll tell my story, and it almost seems insignificant compared to a lot. When I was 12 and a half years old, our church organized a youth group, PYPAs. How many seen our sign? And on the top it says something about PYPAs. You had to be 13 to be a PYPA. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much written in stone. And but our church was just getting this organized and sending it to Fresno, which is our headquarters. And it was a big deal when I was a young fellow. PYPAs means Pentecostal Young People's Association. I've had people ask me when I had my bright gold sweater on with the little PYPA world, you know, and it. So what's a PYPA? And I said, you cannot call us a PYPA. We're a PYPA. And we have a song. Brother Smith sang it, I think, while back. We are the members of the PYPAs. We're in this battle and we're here to stay. Routing out the devil, seeking souls to save. We are the members of the PYPAs. I'm sure every youth organization, group, assemblies, and Church of God and all have something that they sing. And and get in. My story is that I was 12 and a half, and I was too young to join the PYPAs. There was another guy whose birthday was 2 months ahead, and he got to join the PYPAs. Oh, I was crushed. How many, I mean, you know, just a little thing like that. But I didn't give up, because eventually I got in the PYPAs, and eventually I became the youth leader for the church and for the little section there, Bay City section, which is the San Francisco Bay Area, and a couple of other sections. I even became the pastor of that church. But sometimes when we get hurt, it stops us from doing anything further. The pain is just so great. Heartache, heartbreak. I won't even go into testimony of how girls can hurt you when you're a young man. I won't get into that. That's too sensitive to share. But there's a lot of brokenhearted people and depressed. Depression is such a bondage. And Debbie and I were talking about something the other day about bondage hurting so much and really taking away life. It sucks life right out of people when they're so obsessed with something that, and if it's a chemical thing in the body, all we can do is pray and seek God, because God is able to bring healing. Someone said, well, I don't go to church because I've been hurt in church. And you know what I think? We've all been hurt in church. Matter of fact, if you're in church and you haven't been hurt, you haven't done anything. Because just as sure as you do anything. And I mean, it could be as simple as cleaning the church. Someone's going to complain. You could do something, create a dinner, and someone's going to complain. Well, I didn't get this or I didn't get that. It's difficult. But when we do things, we do it unto God. And we kind of have to let go and develop a little bit of a tough skin. And I am not, by any means, trying to excuse why your heart is broken or to take away from the depression that you might experience. I do know this, that during the millennial time, there's going to be a great move of God's Spirit, a great, powerful move of God's Spirit. And the devil's going to be taken away, and it's going to be a lot of singing, a lot of shouting, a lot of rejoicing in the Lord. But we've already experienced that in our church services. The Lord touches us every time we gather. And He'll minister to us and speak to our hearts and bring blessing and encouragement and so forth. The Lord is always present. But there are so many that carry such a broken heart. There's a song that's a very old song. Matter of fact, I went on YouTube and found Mahalia Jackson singing it. And it's called Balm in Gilead. And the song, now, I'm not going to sing it. You can praise God for that. And I can't sing it like Mahalia Jackson did. She does take a long time singing it. Every word is emphasized. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you can pray like Peter, and if you can preach like Paul, go home. Or if you cannot, I should say, pray like Peter or preach like Paul, go home and tell your loved ones he died for all. It's a simple message. You don't have to be Peter or Paul to share it. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work is in vain, and then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Don't ever feel discouraged, because Jesus is your friend. And if you lack knowledge, He will never fail to lend. I want to go back to that verse 3 in chapter 147. That He heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. And although I know that a lot of these scriptures point to a millennial time, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, and set up a covenant that is better than what Israel is enjoying. Israel pushed Jesus away. I don't have any animosity towards Israel. I don't know, in some way or another, I kind of feel like we benefited. They pushed Jesus away, and Jesus went to the Gentiles, and we believe in him, and he has accepted us and brought us into the family. And we're going to be a part of bringing Israel back into the family. And we're all going to be together forever and happy in the Lord. But what Jesus has promised and what God has promised to Israel in the millennial time, we enjoy that right now. We immediately can be touched and our hearts can be mended. And Jesus can touch us in a way where you cannot find a pill or even a therapy that will do the job for you. If you listen to the commercials, there's a pill to take care of every problem in life. And sometimes, again, these create more problems than what they take care of. But when you and I come to the Lord, when we come to the real balm of Gilead, you know that Jesus went to Gilead, and when he went from the Sea of Galilee from Capernaum across the way, and he landed on the east shore over there, and there was a man that was the demoniac of Gadara. And Jesus was in that area of Gilead, and he cast every demon out of that man, put them into pigs. The pigs had sense enough to go drown themselves. And then Jesus got kicked out because the people who owned the pigs were upset. But the power that Jesus brought to the earth. We have a lesson tonight. I forgot to make the announcements. Tonight, church, 5 o'clock, Bible study in the book of Luke. And we see part of that as some of these things as the lesson for tonight. And then Wednesday night, we're dismissing our service for a few weeks to see if that works better for people's schedule. We're trying to be accommodating and flexible. But getting back to the word, Jesus is the answer for our broken hearts today. Jesus took me through the broken heart of being not able to join the PYPAs. I won't mention the name of the other guy. It's all right. I remember it, though. I remember all of those people that wouldn't let me join. Because it was really a pain. And there's other things that have come along that have been heartbreaks for us. And we've lost family members and friends. And it just is so hard to deal with. But the balm of Gilead is available to you today. And he can heal all of the brokenness, all of the hurt, all that has brought destruction and tries to take away life from you. And I do know people. I have an aunt that was brokenhearted when she was a young lady, and she lived her whole life kind of under a cloud. And she died at a fairly young age and really unstable because of such a hurt that came to her life. We don't have to do that. I believe she was a Christian. She was faithful to church more than anybody else around there. But Jesus can take the pain, and he can put a balm deep within your spirit and in your soul. As the song Balm of Gilead says, he can heal sin by covering it with his blood. And only Jesus can do that. He can heal the mind. He can heal the body. He can heal our psyche. He can touch our heart, and he can bring healing. When your heart is broken and when you feel that, how many feels like, oh my goodness, it's right there. It's a pain that's right here. It's so close. It's almost suffocating how much it hurts. But the Lord is able to take that and to bring healing to you. There's another song that I want to share the words of it. And if I had been a little bit more on top of it, I probably could have played that for you today. It's what's her name? Kim Coleman from Family Worship Center. And I just heard this last week. It's He Heals the Brokenhearted. And there's a few versions of this, but this one really touched me. It said, to the wounded spirit, he is your healer. He's your healer. The oil and the wine, a healing balm for every wound. I will open the door of your prison for those who are captive to go through. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captives free. He's life to the hopeless, and he's rest to the weary, and he binds up every wound. Like the first ray of dawn, I know without a doubt he'll be there. When all hope is faded away, he's an oasis in the midst of your desert, a place for the weary to rest. And I think that's so very important that we, when we're hurting, that we come to him and open our heart for him to pour in the oil and the wine. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captives free. He's life to the hopeless and he's rest to the weary, and he binds up every wound. Yesterday I was working with Doug moving a love seat hide-a-bed down a spiral staircase. And that was not an easy thing. And in the process of it, I got a cut on my arm. And it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was blood. And then Doug carried the thing. He was on the downside of that, and we got it in the truck. And he looked over and he said, I have a cut on my hand too. Because when we come up against things in life and we just work, I've got lots of guys that are about my age, and every time they get under the floor to do plumbing or HVAC or anything, they get cut and there's blood and there's a wound. Now, generally, the wounds aren't that big of a deal. We put a Band-Aid on it and go on. But in your life, you've had lots of wounds to the heart. Band-Aids don't do any good. I've got scars on my knees from 50, 60 years ago. We used to get hurt all the time because we were rambunctious and we played. I don't have carpal thumb syndrome because I don't do games. We did wagons and bikes, and so we made go-karts or carts out of skateboard wheels. We'd tear the skate apart and put one on one corner and the other on another corner. And with four skates, we had a moving little machine there. But there was a lot of accidents that we had. But in our lifetime, we have had a lot of heartbreak. And we may have the scars of those things, but we also can have the healing that only Jesus can provide. I want to end in prayer, but I want you to know that there's nothing that's happened in your life that Jesus can't heal and minister to and mend your heart. And I'm not saying that there's little things, there's big things, but Jesus is bigger than anything that happens to us, and he loves us so much. He cares for every part. Debbie, would you come to the piano, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to ask you all to come forward, and we're just going to pray as a body. Pray for one another. Let God bring healing. I don't know where my last page is now. I've lost it. I want you to know that there is also a balm in Campbell. I like the name of our church, Calvary Temple, because that's where Jesus died and shed his blood so that he might be able to strengthen and restore us. There's a big thing about restoration. The Lord is going to restore the world. Right now, there's people today really worried about the earth, and rightfully so. I was in the Boy Scouts. I took soil and water conservation, and I don't know if I ever got my merit badge because it took a lot of work to do that. Yeah, I mean, physical work. I worked on it 2 or 3 summer camps. I'm not sure if I ever made it, but we should take care of our earth. I'm not opposed to that at all. But it's not the pollution that's hurt the earth as much as the sin. And when sin came along, it hurt the earth in a big way. God's going to reform this earth, and it's going to be purified of all sin and all pollution. And when the Lord runs it, I have no idea what the power's going to be. It's going to be His power, and it's going to be perfectly clean. There's a lot of things I don't know about what's ahead in glory, but I do know this. It's beautiful, and the Lord will take good care of us. Let's pray today. Lord, I pray that You'll touch hearts. We've all had bumps, some greater than others. Some of us, Lord, we seem like every time we turn around, there's a hurt. There's something gouging at us and trying to hurt us. But I pray today for Jesus, You are the balm of Campbell, and I pray that You will come and that You will apply Your power, Your oil and wine to the hearts of Your people. Lord Jesus, You've put Your blood over us. We're covered in Your blood. We're washed. We're cleansed. We belong to You. And I pray today, Lord, that You will cover and minister to the heart, minister to the life. Lord, sometimes we look out and we see only darkness. And I pray that You'll cover that darkness with Your light. And that You'll show hope and strength, Lord, that You are the deliverer from all things that are binding and all things that hurt. That You'll take every wound, Lord, some that are fresh and some that are maybe scars from the past. And that You'll minister healing and strength. Lord, set us free to really worship You. And let Your Holy Spirit blanket this church in such a powerful way that everyone can see and feel and know Your greatness and Your glory. In our life, we think, we don't have enough to take care of the situations, but You're able because You have no limit and You have all power. And I pray that You'll pour out Your blessing and strength, Lord, and that you'll provide and that You'll just fill our hearts with Your greatness and Your glory. We honor You today, Lord. Minister to Your church as we come before You. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and come to the front? I just want us to pray as a body. I've been praying that the Spirit of God will just flow through us. There's so many people that want to touch You. And I'm not opposed to that. The Bible says that we should anoint with oil. But you know what? God knows you. And He's able to touch you. And I believe you need that touch today. I believe that there's lives here today that feel like you have the biggest wound in your heart and it's never been totally touched. But I don't even have the words to say how compassionate I feel. But Jesus died on a cross so He could touch your heart today. I didn't die on a cross. None of us did. There's no preacher that did. Jesus did. Lord, I pray that You will touch Your church, touch Your people. Bring healing, Lord, by the power of Your Spirit, the power of Your blood, the power of Your blood. Overshadow us. We surrender to the blood of Jesus. We surrender. Cover us with Your blood. Bring the ointment of the oil and the wine, the anointing and the power of the Spirit. Pour in that, Lord. We know that salt will heal, but salt will hurt, but the oil soothes. And I pray that the power of the Spirit just soothes today. Overwhelm us with your presence. Overwhelm us with your Spirit. And touch everyone, Lord. Let not one person go away without feeling your touch, your great big hug, your love. Oh, we love you, Jesus. And oh, you love us, Jesus. Thank you for your love that covers a multitude of sins. And thank you for your love that brings us strength. And thank you for the love that helps us to get back up on our feet after we've been knocked down so often. Thank you for your love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. O Ramakiri, Aleridiosanda. The joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me. Oh, he touched me and made me whole. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Let's sing that this blessed Savior, he cleansed and made me whole. I will never cease. Just thank him. Jesus, we thank you for your presence and your power. I pray, Lord, that every heart be touched. Everyone that, and all of us have been broken by something. All of us have been touched and hurt, Lord, and I pray that you'll bring healing, healing, miraculous healing. Not just a Band-Aid, Lord, but the soothing power of your balm. You're healing, Lord, and you take away the hurt. You minister to the situation, Lord. You bless us and you provide for us and you bring both physical healing, emotional healing, and Lord God, let our souls be strong and rejoice in who you are. Anoint our worship, anoint our praise. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to the Most High God. We thank you for that. Be with us today. Be with us this week. Your blessing and your power upon your people, and we give you glory. Amen. Everybody's an honorary member of the PYPAs of Calvary Temple. The age cutoff is 40, but we're extending it to 110. And it doesn't matter if you're 6, you're still with us. God bless you. Thank you.
wire could it be this?
I don't know.
I mean, it works. It's an old.
When it works, it works, you know?
Yeah, but everybody wanted me to get a new computer. And right now, the old one is the only one that works.